It's a classic matchup. Once again, Patrick Mahomes will play Josh Allen in the playoffs for the fourth time. In fact, it's second in NFL history in the playoffs, only to Peyton Manning against Tom Brady. But there's many other reasons that this is the moment. And that's what we'll talk about on this edition of Defending the Kingdom, of course brought to you by Ticketmaster.
Mahomes stepping up again, tries to throw, light caught, touchdown, Kansas City!
Hi everyone, I'm Mitch Holter's voice of the Chiefs, along with senior team reporter Matt McMullen. One thing that you do so well, whether you're writing or speaking or researching, is to understand the gravity of the moment. And yes, it's Mahomes versus Allen. Yes, there's history here. Pats 1-4 against the Bills in the regular season, but 3-0 in the playoffs, and we can spew out a bunch of stuff. We'll get into this game. But the moment, I've said that this is probably the biggest game in the city's history, just because if the Chiefs do something in this, they can do something in this game that's never been done.
So this will sound kind of like what we said on last week's episode, because we talked about how we were really starting the journey with last week's game against the Texans. But everything that we've talked about for months now, and really since Super Bowl 58 ended, like the day afterward, has been leading up to this game. It's all been leading up to this moment. And watching games around the league, of course, wanting to win our own games, has been about all those steps in the process, about making the playoffs, about making sure we win the division, get the one seed, trying to lay out a path where you can win one game at home to then set up this game. And here we are. We've made it to this point. I think it's poetic that it's Chiefs and Bills again. It's the one team the Chiefs lost to in the regular season. I mean, it is all about this game. And the amazing thing about our team is that they approach it like it's kind of a twofold thing. It's any other game, you go through your normal procedure, but also they know the stakes of this game. Yeah. They know what this game means. They know that they've been working all year long for this game, and I can't wait to see the result.
And the historic nature of this game, why the biggest one I think played in the city, is that no NFL team has won back-to-back Super Bowls and even made it back to a Super Bowl for a chance for a three-peat. There are three that got this level. The 1976 Steelers, they lost. The 1990 49ers, they lost 15-13 to the Giants after a 15-win regular season. That might be the most parallel team to what the Chiefs have done. And then the 94 Cowboys, they'd won back-to-back. Whoops, they lose to the San Francisco 49ers. They don't get back. The Chiefs win this game. This moment, the Chiefs will make National Football League history in winning this AFC championship.
It's right there. It's right there. Again, you work all year long for this moment, for it to be at home, for you to have your full team and to be healthy. And the Chiefs are the healthiest they've been all year, getting out of that Texans game with a full bill of health. And at least as far as we know, everyone's ready to go for this game that we could hope could be ready to go for it. It's at home. The atmosphere is going to be incredible. And thinking about, you know, last year's run, and as great as it was so much fun going on the road and winning those games. But at the end of the day, you want these games to be in Kansas City because we have the best home field advantage in the NFL. The stadium is going to be electric. It's going to be an amazing atmosphere. And I just keep getting back to the opportunity that this is. We say this all the time on DTK, but sports fans will go their entire life not even getting close to seeing their team playing in a game like this. And let's go out there and do it.
And we're close to seeing something that's never been done in this league. All right, let's go around the world. We're trying to get ready. You can tell Matt and I are already like foaming at the mouth for this game. But the best way to kind of calm down a bit, Coach would say don't peak too soon if he was in our face right now. But one way to kind of just keep it real is jump in our space capsule and go around the world.
I was watching the CFP National Championship game last night, and it's just kind of hard to focus on anything else. But you're right. Need to distract ourselves briefly here. Heard from Brants from Ulysses, Kansas.
Yep, Tigers.
Uh-huh. Lives in Hayes now. Had a chance to meet you at camp a few years ago. And was at the game on Saturday, and it's my understanding he'll be at the game on Sunday. So, Brants, you are good luck.
Ulysses, baby.
Yep. This is a cool one. So shout out to Damo Genesis. I think I had heard of Damo before. He's a very successful rapper, DJ, and songwriter from Inglewood, California. Been a lifelong Chiefs fan. Just always hated the Raiders, always just liked the Chiefs from afar. And he listens to DTK and wrote in. So shout out to you, Damo. Thanks for
very
writing
cool.
in. Yeah.
We need to know how he became a Chiefs fan, though.
Well, he said he just loved the color red growing up. hated the Raiders and was like, I guess I'll just support the Chiefs. And now he's a Chiefs fan. So
very logical.
Shout out to you. Heard from Mary. She's checking in from Iola, Kansas.
Mustangs or the Phillies?
Okay.
The guys are called the Mustangs. The gals are called the Phillies.
Okay.
Yeah. Also home of Allen County Community College.
Where is it?
It is southeast Kansas.
All right.
So if you, it's east and south of Kansas City. Good area. Good sports tradition there. But yeah. So a couple hours from Kansas City, south and east.
Okay.
So sorry, go south Mustangs. And a bit west. A bit south and a bit west of Kansas City.
They would let you know if you were wrong.
Oh
about
yeah.
That. Keith is from Belleville, Illinois.
Yeah, St. Louis, basically.
Okay.
Yeah, the Illinois side of St. Louis.
Dave is from Pennsylvania.
Probably went to Althoff High School, I'm guessing. Just
talking about guess. Talking about Keith in Belleville.
Yeah.
Okay. What's their mascot?
Don't know.
Set you up for that one.
Yeah, thanks.
Remember talking about Papillion, Nebraska?
Papillion.
Yeah.
Papillion, okay. La Vista. Yeah.
So heard from a bunch of people from there.
Here they come. They just come out of the woodwork.
So do you remember La Vista's mascot?
No.
Okay, it's the Monarchs. And there's also another school, La Vista South.
Ooh, that's a new one, I think.
They're the Titans.
The Titans, yeah. Everybody, the new schools have gone with Titans a lot. I don't know why. Maybe it's a Remember the Titans movie.
Yeah.
A lot of Titans are new schools and consolidated schools that are small. They go together and it's the Titans. It's got to make sense geographically, though.
Did they take the Tennessee Titans logo and just change the colors?
Oh, no. If Tennessee knew how many teams are losing using their logo right now, there'd be a lot of cease and desist.
It's just funny how so many schools do that, and it's just it looks so weird because the colors are different. Maybe even like the letters are different, but it's the same logo.
Yeah,
I digress. We have a listener from Toronto. I want to go to Toronto.
Toronto, Kansas?
Toronto, Canada.
There's Toronto, Kansas. It's down by Eureka.
Okay. Well, this listener is kind of behind enemy lines because Toronto's kind of like Bills territory.
Oh, Bills. It is so Bills. Yeah. Yeah. You know, there was some thought about moving the Bills to Toronto. Remember that?
Yeah.
And then if you don't build a new stadium, we're going to Toronto.
Yeah. Well, they're representing us behind enemy lines. Bruce is in Liberal, Kansas.
Redskins.
Okay.
Seward County Community College.
Okay. All right. A few weeks ago, we mentioned Henry in South Africa. This is cool. So Alan wrote in. He's preparing to move to Cape Town here pretty soon and is hoping to find a Chiefs family in South Africa. So Henry, if you're interested in meeting Alan, we've already done this in Cambodia. We can do it in South Africa. So I'm trying to connect people around the world. Susan wrote in from Jackson Hole, Wyoming. I'll be in Jackson Hole in about 5 months. Looking forward to that. We have a listener from Washington State wrote in with a story about how you made him a Chiefs fan because his wife is from Kansas City. They started listening to the radio broadcasts together because she moved out to Washington to live with him in the Tri-Cities area. And he just loved how you brought the game to life. You explained football. You explained what the players were all about. And your passion and love for football brought it all to life for him. So you made him a Chiefs fan.
Husky, Cougar.
I'm guessing he's a Cougar because they're I don't know.
Eastern Washington?
He told me, and I didn't write it down.
Okay, I need to know.
I'm assuming
Jaden
he's a Cougar.
Hicks.
I don't know for sure, though.
Yeah, is Jaden it Jaden Hicks or Trent McDuffie? How about that room?
And Jalen Watson, right?
Jalen Watson. Yeah, we got two Cougars and a Husky in there. Keith Taylor. So in that room, we have 10 DBs on this team. Two are Huskies and two are Cougars in the same room. Apple Cup, baby, every day when they meet.
What are the odds of that?
Not much.
Brett grew up in Clinton, Missouri, but now lives in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania.
Ooh.
A lot of history there. You ever been to Gettysburg?
I have. Yeah. I have. Yeah, it's amazing.
Powerful
place. Powerful. Very powerful.
Alejandro is from Columbia, South America. Moved to Kansas City in 1996 and been a fan ever since. We've got Carlos is from Santiago in the Dominican Republic. Been a fan since 1993. Doral is checking in from Woodland Hills, Utah. Became a fan because of Alex Smith.
Love it.
When U of Alex U. Smith came to the Chiefs.
Obviously, U of U guy.
Yep.
Don't tell Coach.
Don't tell Coach
BYU
all the way.
BYU, yeah.
D is in Ash Grove, Missouri. Watches every game with his grandson. You know where Ash Grove is?
I should, man. I gotta like look at my Missouri map before we do this.
every time I just put you through the
ringer. It's super easy. I know. At Cassville, everybody just went nuts in Cassville. Like, oh, come on. You don't know where Cassville's at. So,
the homework this week is Ash Grove.
Thank you.
Trish is from Sydney, Australia. Augustine is writing in from Ghana. Shannon is from Cameron, Missouri. We're very familiar with Cameron.
The Dragons. I know that one.
It's the exit.
It's the exit, but it's also home of the Cameron Dragons.
Okay.
Get that one right.
Well, Shannon lives in Colorado Springs now, but is from Cameron originally. Go Dragons. Dale is checking in from Orlando, but originally from Tuscaloosa. Tuscaloosa is on my bucket list, to be honest.
Me too.
Go to a game at Is but it Saban, Dennett, to, Briney?
Or? I want to go to, yeah, Brant, Denny, Stadium, blah, blah. I want to go to Field. Auburn, though, too. I want to go to Toomer's Corner.
Yeah, Jordan Hare.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm into that. We can go roll it
Let's
together.
Let's get it together.
I'm in. Bill wrote in from Overland Park, but he's lived in Wahoo, Nebraska, Dayton, Ooh. Iowa, and Ottumwa, Iowa.
Ottumwa.
Ottumwa.
Yep.
Yes. That's where I get in trouble is the pronunciation.
That's okay. Ottumwa is southeast Iowa. The fictitious character of Radar O'Reilly in the famous series MASH
okay.
was from Ottumwa.
Really?
Yep.
Okay. That is a fun fact.
Mm-hmm.
Patrick is from Tübingen, Germany. Definitely mispronounced that. But home of the Tigers in the basketball Bundesliga. Love it.
Bundesliga.
We need to start getting these international teams, the home of the
We need Bundesliga updates.
I'm into that. Because at first... He just said home of the Tigers, and I assumed it was the European League of American Football.
Which we're gonna renew that in the springtime.
Yeah.
We're going to follow our favorite friends, and we got stuff now.
Want to do a fantasy stuff. Team, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, maybe basketball Bundesliga is also on the table. That's all I got. Pretty ridiculous. We heard from five continents this week. Only thing That's we were so missing cool. was Asia, which we hear from Asia all the time. Yeah. We have a contingent in Cambodia, contingent in the Philippines. Thailand, all over, but we heard from North America, South America, Africa, Europe, and Australia. That's pretty cool. The world is fired up for this game, I think.
That's so awesome. Five continents. Well done out there, Kingdom Defenders, and yep. well done, Matt McMullen. The moment. It's the Bills and Chiefs. We talked about the historical aspect of this game. Historical, too, for the Bills. They've not been to the show in 30 years. They've never won it. They have been left at the altar four times. So this is big for them.
Yeah.
Much like it was big for the Texans last week. They'd never won an AFC divisional game. So there's just a lot here on the line. But why this is, in my opinion, the biggest game in the city's history because of the NFL history that's there. All right, let's jump into the football portion of this game. The Buffalo Bills, you admire what they've done. Josh Allen, probably be the MVP of the NFL. Although interesting looking at his numbers, they kind of redirected the way they play. If you look at their wide receiver core, only one played against us last year in the divisional round. And then I thought, well, what about us? Only one of our guys played in the divisional round last year.
Wow.
Think who it was.
Yeah, it would have been a – don't tell me. Huh. I want to say Juju, but it's not Juju, is it?
Justin Watson.
Justin Watson. That's who it is.
That's it. Nobody else. Juju was 2 years ago.
Yeah.
He played in – that's a trick question.
It is.
Played in 22, not in 23. None of these other cats. Worthy, D-Hop, go right down the line.
Yeah.
Nope. And Nico didn't.
He Hollywood, wasn't. Obviously, yeah.
And Nico Remigio wasn't. He was on practice squad.
It feels like Juju never left, but he did.
Yeah.
We have a bunch of those where guys were gone and came back, like McColl's that
wasn't
same
Wasn't he
way.
On that team? No,
yeah.
So here's Buffalo. They redirected the way they play. Shakir's had a big year. But it's about running the ball, winning on first down, and the ridiculous giveaway-takeaway ratio, plus 24, best in the NFL during the regular season. We saw it reach ahead in their divisional playoff victory over the Ravens. Plus three, critical turnovers, all three of them. And the Bills scored off two of them. Credit to the Ravens, they didn't allow one of the turnovers to be a score because two of them, they happen in their territory. But then also the lack of giveaways. Buffalo only gave the ball away this year 8 times. That tied an all-time NFL record with the 2019 Saints. Every giveaway was Josh Allen's. 6 interceptions.
That's crazy.
2 lost fumbles, but that's it. A gob of takeaways and hardly any giveaways. And to me, that's where the discussion of the 2024 playoff 25 Bills, that's where it starts.
The turnover margin is the game.
Wow.
And it's always important in every game that you play. This is the first, second, and third priority in this game, though. And you just laid it out. I have some more numbers for you. Buffalo forced 33 turnovers this year, third most in the NFL. 16 interceptions, that was the 5th most in the league, but 16 recovered fumbles, most in the NFL. They have a fumble recovery rate of 57%. That's crazy. That's way higher than anyone else in the league. Everyone else is kind of hovering around between 25 and maybe even 40% as high. These guys are at 57% in terms of recovering loose balls. They lead the NFL in takeaway points with 128. That's 24% of their overall point total for the year. We talked about that last week with Houston, that 27% of their overall points for the year were off of takeaways. That was the highest rate in the league. Well, these guys are similar. It's 24%. That's third highest rate in the NFL. And they also have 29 drives this season that began in the opponent's on the opponent's side of the field, most in the NFL. And they scored 118 points on those drives, again, most in the NFL. And the vast majority of those are due to takeaways. Don't turn the ball over in this game. Win the turnover margin. It's very difficult to force turnovers on these guys, and we'll talk to Charles Omenihu a little bit later. Hopefully he can force a couple in this game. But one thing you can always control as an offense is not turning the ball over. These guys live and breathe off takeaways. It's fueled their entire season. And here's an interesting note on Patrick Mahomes. Mahomes has won 37 consecutive games in which the Chiefs won the turnover margin, and that includes the playoffs. Win the turnover margin, and the Chiefs have a great shot at winning this game.
It's been crazy. The last time the Chiefs turned it over, November the 17th.
It's an NFL record.
Against the Buffalo Bills, the last time. And even that was a desperation interception at the end of the game. And there was a kind of a ghastly interception earlier. But you think about it, since November the 17th, the Chiefs have not turned it over. But it's really been the Bills' season.
Knock on wood, right?
Knock on wood.
Yes. Wherever you are, knock on wood.
But let's go. Taking your numbers even a little bit further, the 128 takeaway points, we always look at that because you can look at giveaway takeaway, but what do you do with your takeaways? Matt already laid out most of it there. Compare that to the Chiefs, who only had 78 takeaway points. That's 50 more points the Bills got this year off of takeaways. In addition, second in the league with the Buffalo Bills, 107 possessions after takeaways. So when you look at it, and it makes sense, but you get a takeaway, that's one more possession you get that your opponent does not get, and you're usually getting it in favorable territory, as you mentioned. They were number one in the league, the Buffalo Bills, in starting average field position. Why? Mostly, they were taking the ball away in a fortuitous position and then to use it to go score. That's the first biggest part of this game and this Buffalo team.
And what's so funny, there's a million ways to talk about this particular point, but the Chiefs and the Bills are so similar in a million ways. And one of them is that both like to play ball control and kind of condense the game. People might not think that about Buffalo because Josh Allen has had this great year, but they do the same thing that the Chiefs do, where they try to condense the game. They play ball control. They win the time of possession. And that's why in this game, both teams are probably going to have 8 or 9 drives offensively total. The numbers back that up because the Chiefs defensively have faced the fewest opponent drives in the NFL, and the Bills have faced the third fewest. So that kind of amplifies this whole takeaway conversation, and that's what happened to the Chiefs in Week 11, because if you only have 8 or 9 drives and you turn it over twice, all of a sudden you lose so much of an opportunity to keep pace with a really good team. It goes the other way too. If Buffalo loses the turnover margin and they're only going to have 8 or 9 possessions in the game, they lose the opportunity to keep up with the Chiefs. So we could talk for an hour about this. It really boils down to a very simple sentence. Don't turn the ball over. That's the key.
And yet you still have to attack without turning the ball over. Both of these teams have to. You can't sit there and like run zero hole dives all day long.
Yeah, smart football though.
But the Chiefs, let's just talk about the Chiefs and what happened at the end of the season, going from -4 to 10th in the league in giveaway takeaway. We chuckle about it because they were sitting at -4, -4, and then that 3 games in 11-day span, they were +10 in the giveaway takeaway. But a huge key in this game for the Kansas City Chiefs, and he got hurt in this game a year ago, and he can tell you by the day. But let's check in with a guy who could be the difference in this game. He did not play on November the 17th. Charles Omenihu, the king of the forced fumble. So excited to turn this guy loose in the AFC Championship game, Charles Omenihu. I'm going to start this way. I would see you when you were in your rehab and heartbroken when you got hurt last year in the AFC Championship game. But you had a face of determination and will that you were going to get to this point. What got you through there? And it's awesome to have you raring to go.
I think, like you hit on the head, my determination, my will, knowing where I was at last year, the level I was playing at, I've been thriving to get back to that feeling of being unstoppable. Nobody can really stop what I got going on, making impact plays every game. I wanted that feeling so bad, so the only way I can get back to that is getting on the field. So that's what kept me going through the rehab when it was difficult and when I had to watch games and all that stuff. So that was the biggest thing.
And still, some things were out of your control. You can't control if the Chiefs got back to this point when you weren't on the field. Mm-hmm. How cool is this, though, that, I mean, we don't win that AFC Championship game last year without your strip sack, mm-hmm. but now we're back in that moment. You're healthy and ready to go.
Yeah.
How great is this opportunity for you?
Yeah, I've talked to my friends about it. I've told them, like, it's a full circle moment for me. Mm-hmm. That when we do play, I'm going to be 363 games from when I got hurt to that day of the time span of, like, from my injury to being back in the same moment. So it's going to be good. My mind is set on trying to make more plays and this time be able to step foot on the in the Super Bowl and make impact there.
Yes, sir.
We cannot wait for that. Your ability to play both inside and outside has been key. What about having the mindset of you can be as forceful being on the inside as well as the outside?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's what I tip my hat on as a player, that I can play the run inside, I can play the run outside, I can rush the passer inside, I can rush the passer outside. So it gives no limitation for where I can be at, where I can line up at. As long as I have an opportunity to rush, be one-on-one with somebody, eventually I'll get through. And like I said, part of me was kind of frustrated with myself in the regular season that I wanted to do more in that aspect, but I at times have to give myself grace and know that it's coming. And I was very big in like self-talk as far as this last game of having a complete game. And yes, I had the strip sack, but I also was heavily involved in the run game, setting edges how I know it's supposed to be done, playing the tight end how I've done my whole career, and just continue to show that all because I had an injury doesn't mean anything. I've recovered fully from that, and I'm ready to make the impact of the same level or even more that I did last year throughout the year.
Yeah, playing your position is a lot more than just the sacks. Mm-hmm. You're good at that part, though. And one thing that's kind of unique about you is you always go for the quarterback's arm when mm-hmm. they're rearing back to throw. That's yeah. where you get all those strip sacks. Yeah. That's a mentality thing. Where did you learn that?
Where did I learn that? I would say I was doing that a lot in college, to be honest. Watching, when I was growing up, just watching defensive line, I watched DeMarcus a lot. Me and D. Ware had worked out probably my second year in the league in the offseason. I would work with him, and he would always talk to me about that. Seeing J.J., being with J.J., he did it a lot. So I was like, well, those two are really, really great players, and the impact it is to get a strip sack aside than just a regular sack is night and day. So I always told myself, like, these quarterbacks not that difficult to get down, so you might as well try and get the ball and make a huge, like, game-changing play. And all my playoff games that I've played in since my third year in the league, I've done that, and I just tell myself just keep going after the ball.
There are a few things better than seeing the panic on the quarterback's face when they realize the ball has been stripped away and they're like, where to go?
Yeah,
It's great. I love it.
Yeah, I'm going to ask you more about that, but I'm going to go to Josh Allen right now and the fact that they do run it, whether it's Cook, whether it's Johnson, whether it's Davis, mm-hmm. but Josh, mm-hmm. playing him.
Yeah, I've been saying this. I think Josh is an extremely elite quarterback, very elite. To be his size, rocket arm, and then be able to run the way he can. And I just personally thought that, like, he'll get out no matter what. Like, he's a guy that can get out regardless. So you just want to apply as much pressure as you can, shrink the pocket on him, make it to where he has no escape lane. And then when he starts to take off, you get off your block and try and finish the job. So that's much respect to him. I think he's top three quarterback in the league for sure. And he's one of those guys, I think, that's like a super competitor. Like, there's competitiveness and there's like ultra competitiveness, and he falls in that category.
Of course, that's the only game that we've lost this year if you take out the Week 18 mm-hmm. game. Watching that game, of course, you weren't on the field, I don't think. Mm-hmm. Were you thinking, if I'm out there, I can make a play or two, and now you get that chance?
Yeah, I mean, like you said, I wasn't there when they went up to Buffalo and played, and I watched the game. I've watched the Buffalo, that game, and then I watched the regular season game we had last year, and I watched the playoff game we had. Then I watched them versus Baltimore, so I've watched quite a bit of their tape. And there'll be opportunities. I'll be able to impact in the run and the pass game, and when I do get the opportunity to get around him, I mean, you know what I'm going to try and do.
Final question. It deals with, I'm amazed at your wingspan and how you use it. I remember the play against Easton Stick last year, the 97-yard scoop and score.
It's his favorite play ever. It really is.
I mean, it's like elongated man or whatever, like you know, some superhero that just goes,
yeah.
What about your wingspan and how you use it?
Yeah, like I said, it just goes back to, I think, great players make those exceptional plays. There's, like I said, a sack is good. But what if you took the ball away and your teammate picks it up and he goes scores, or it's 4 minutes to go, they're trying to tie the game or win the game, and you strip sack them, the game's over. Like, it's a euphoric feeling that I want all the time.
Let's do that on Sunday, okay?
We kind of want that feeling too. But everyone out there, everyone watching, listening to this podcast, needs to know how hard this dude worked right here for this moment.
Appreciate that, man.
So excited for him. It reminds me of the story of Juan Thornhill. Mm-hmm. Juan Thornhill in 2019, really good safety for us right now. He's a Cleveland Brown. But at the end of the regular season, he tore his knee up. He missed the run to Super Bowl 54 in that championship. He's such a good dude. I remember, though, sitting with him in his locker. Everybody's celebrating, right? In the champagne and cigars and all that stuff. And he was sitting there going, I really wasn't part of this. I'm happy, but I really wasn't part of it. And then he got the chance to be healthy and win Super Bowl 57. Here's Charles Omenihu. We don't, and you said it to him in the interview, where we probably don't get to the Super Bowl last year without Omenihu and what he did in the game against these guys and the game against the Ravens. And yet he tears his ACL. And a year later, he gets the same chance Juan Thornhill gets. You just, this story is very, very rare.
Do you remember Luke Hoshaver?
Oh, yeah.
With the Royals? So there's a very similar parallel story here where Luke Hoshaver was going to be the Royals' closer in 2014. No one really remembers this because Wade Davis was so good. But Luke Hoshaver was
going to
be the closer.
And under a lot of criticism because he was supposed to be high draft pick, right?
Yeah, number one overall pick.
And he's supposed to be like 20-game winner every year, and that didn't happen, and everybody's down on him. Like, no worth to this guy.
Well, in 2014, in training camp, he blows out his elbow.
Yeah.
And the Royals weren't supposed to be super good that year. Like, maybe they'll compete but not go to the World Series. And he told reporters, the thing I'm most disappointed about is that I won't be on the pile at the end of the year when we win the whole thing. And everyone kind of laughed at him. Well, the Royals went to the World Series that year, didn't win it. But the following year, Luke Hoshaver came back. And Luke Hoshaver was on the mound when the Royals, I think, took the lead in that game. And, of course, got a World Series ring. All his rehab was about getting back to that moment, and he got back and was part of a World Series champion. So I say all this because Charles Omenihu is in a similar situation where he helped the Chiefs get to the Super Bowl last year, like I told him, and like you just said, I don't think the Chiefs get to the Super Bowl without his efforts. But now he has a chance to not only get back to that game, but to help us win it. And I think it's so cool because those things are not necessarily in his control. All he can control are, you know, his rehab and making sure he's ready for the moment. But the moment's here. And his preparation, everything that he's done to get to this moment, is kind of colliding with the Chiefs' opportunity. That's really cool. And we're going to need him against Josh Allen on Sunday. But glad Charles is on our side.
We'll close this way, but the second key point, not only the giveaway takeaway, which is dramatic if you look at the Buffalo Bills season. Who in the NFC reminds you of Buffalo? Because I started calling this a little bit.
Oh, man, you're putting me on the spot here. I'm trying to think.
Yeah, my bad. I shouldn't have done it. Buffalo Eagles.
Oh, okay. I was going to say Philadelphia.
This is the Buffalo Eagles.
Yeah. In a lot of ways, yeah.
And here's why. They have run the ball very effectively. And the Chiefs, I love the Chiefs' three-headed monster. Hmm. We talk about Isaiah Pacheco, Kareem Hunt, what he's meant, Samaje Perine. They also have a three-headed monster. Because rookie Ray Davis has been very effective for them. But you throw him in with Johnson, and then you throw him in with Cook, who's had an amazing season, and then the ability of Josh Allen to run the ball, either by design or by ad-libbing. And Josh would probably be the MVP. I went back and looked at the three games, the two games in the playoffs and the November 17 game against us. 23 times the Bills had, follow me here on this, second and four to go for a first down or less, third and two to go for a first down or less. 19 out of the 23 times, they convert for a first down. Of the four they didn't, three of the four led to the next down where they did convert. Think of the fourth and two, touchdown by Josh Allen to seal the game back on November the 17th. The point here, Matt, is winning on first down is paramount. First downs are touchdowns in this game, where if they get you, the Bills, into second and four or less or third and two or less, it becomes, it could be tush-push, whatever, but when they have you there, they're like Muhammad Ali having you on the ropes.
And they've really perfected that over the years. I remember thinking back to the 2021 playoff game against these guys. It was the same thought process where if they're in third and three, they're probably going to pick it up. And it's just really, really difficult because Josh Allen is such a unique talent where he's huge. He's way bigger than people realize until you actually see him. It's ridiculous how fast he is for how big he is. And he runs quarterback power better than just about anybody. So, yeah, keeping them in long third downs is important. What's kind of interesting is looking back at the Week 11 game, the long third downs is kind of where the Bills burn the Chiefs, because I think we did a pretty decent job of keeping them in a lot of long third downs for the most part, particularly early on in drives. But we got burned because they converted six third downs that were third and six or longer. They had a third and six and a third and nine on their opening touchdown drive in that game. A third and nine early in the second quarter, converted via penalty, led to a touchdown. Another third and nine early in the third quarter, converted via penalty, led to another touchdown. Then people forget about this. We all remember the fourth and two run by Allen that sealed the game. And what's so interesting is, of course, if the Chiefs get a stop there, we would have a chance to go win the game or tie the game or whatever. Well, right before that sequence of downs, there was a third and nine closer to midfield that Allen found Khalil Shakir for 10 yards.
Yep.
And was it Brian Cook? Someone laid a big hit on him, and he held on somehow. Yep. Barely got the first down. That led to a new sequence of downs that eventually led to the fourth and two. If you stop the Bills on third and nine at midfield, I don't think they go for it. They maybe kick a field goal. They maybe punt. And the Chiefs have a chance to go win or tie the game. When you have the Bills in long third downs, you've got to get them off the field. And the good news is we didn't have Charles in that game, didn't have Jalen Watson in that game. That makes a big, big difference in my opinion. Yep. So I agree with your point. Got to make sure they're in long third downs. And when they are, you got to win more often than not.
I'll even include long second downs.
Yeah.
You've got to put them in long second downs. They get five or six on first down. Goes back to my stat that I just gave you. It's almost automatic to get at least a first down or put you on the heels. So let's flip this over to the other side. If you're looking for a cavity in the Bills, they were last in the league this year in third down or six or more. This goes to your point on the converse.
Yeah.
When their defense faced the opponent going third or six and more, they allowed a first down or longer 34% of the time, last in the league. So there's some chance to turn the cannon on them. Protection's key. We know about Rousseau. Oliver's a beast. Epinesa, the Iowa guy. And then they've got Milano back, a linebacker. But a little bit different Buffalo team. They're just and I give them a lot of credit. This was supposed to be a year they were going to adjust the cap, like a year they might slide back, the window's closing. No, here they are. But when you look at this team, I don't think it's the same as what you get in a national perception.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. And their defense overall, to your point, I mean, they've allowed the fourth most first downs of any team in the league. They're number 29 in the league on third down, number 16 red zone defense. They've allowed 39 10-play drives, fifth most in the NFL. But here's what they do. They force you to run a bunch of plays, and they're kind of banking on the fact you're probably going to make a mistake. And to their credit, that's happened all year long, where teams have made mistakes against them. They've maybe moved the ball a little bit. And you kind of made this point that it's a lot of times after a double-digit gain. And we saw this with Mark Andrews in the divisional game last weekend, where big gain, big first down, they punch the ball out. You're feeling really good. You're running downfield. They punch the ball out. In this game, if the Chiefs can execute a methodical game plan, you move down the field, you protect the football, and you convert in the red zone, which they did a great job of back in Week 11. They were 3-for-3 in terms of red zone touchdown efficiency in that game. That's why it all comes down to just a turnover or two, because these are two really good teams competing against one another, and they're really evenly matched in so many ways. But yeah, you can move the ball on this Bills defense, but they force mistakes, and you have to make sure that you play mistake-free football against these guys. One player I'm watching is Xavier Worthy. Yep. Because if you look back at that Week 11 game, that was kind of Xavier Worthy's coming out party. Mm-hmm. He had four catches for 61 yards and a touchdown in that game. He has at least 40 receiving yards in every single game he has played in since that day. He kind of graduated, in my mind, to what he is now in that game. And also, DeAndre Hopkins likely gets a bigger snap count in this game than he did the first time around because he was still kind of new in that game. Hollywood Brown didn't play in that game. So there's a lot of factors that... That Week 11 game is interesting and it's important to look at, but this is kind of two different teams competing against one another in this one because, to be fair, the Bills didn't have Dalton Kincaid, didn't have Keon Coleman in that game. So they know each other well, but it's also kind of a new battle, too.
Yeah, Noah Gray was big in this game back on November 17th. Yeah. Remember, he was part of the red zone two touchdown of the three. But we know this. We can break this game down 1,000 ways, but we... are certain that we know it's the Bills and the Chiefs, but in this unique circumstance, this unique historic circumstance, that is the moment.